You are Locked On the NBA, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome, everybody, to your favorite day of the week. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined, as always, by Adam Mattis. Adam, we are heading towards the new year. The holiday is behind us. We are officially kind of sort of in like the NBA season everybody pays attention to.
I know, and it's kind of weird because it's been so good up until this point. If you're just joining us, you've missed out on so much.
Right? Yeah, it's like you're at a party that, you know, somebody thought to be fashionably late to, but they miss like the best part of the party.
That's a great point. That's a great metaphor. That's exactly what it's like.
So
everybody's so drunk. Now they have to catch up. It's like, what's going on? Doing cake like, stands out back.
There's a bra on the chandelier somehow.
Wild parties you go to, Anthony.
I can't wait.
It's why you guys do it different in California.
That's why I require like 5 days to recover. So today, though, we have a fun show to send you guys off into the new year and the new holiday and all that stuff. We're going to talk about the Sacramento Kings and Lakers fun finish. And Adam wants to laugh at me for that one.
We're gonna
use that to segue into talking about the Anthony Davis Lakers situation. Zach Lowe wrote a really good article about how New Orleans got here. So we'll use that to continue to talk about that. In the second segment, we're gonna take you around the NBA. Adam's gonna do most of the talking there, and then finally, because
it'll
we
be
are
a
heading
great segment, if I'm doing most of the talking.
In the final segment, we're going to give resolutions out to the rest of the NBA. We're going to be that really annoying friend who's like, you should lose weight this year. so that'll be how we wrap up the show. Let's start, though, with the Lakers losing in pretty gut-wrenching fashion. For Lakers fans, for NBA Twitter, it was a tremendous finish to the game, really. But the Lakers lose to Sacramento.
Well, it was objectively a good finish. I mean, that was you know, obviously not for Lakers fans, but Sacramento, I thought they were out of it. I almost flipped it off because I thought they were out of it. Down, I believe, 15 with 6 minutes and 30 seconds to go, and they rallied back.
Yeah. So you are a Lonzo Ball fan, right?
Oh, of course.
He said something after the game. I really appreciate Lonzo because he just kind of calls it like he sees it. There's not too much bullcrap with him. And I thought he summed up the game really well, where he said, for the vast majority of the game, we, the Lakers, played really well. We moved the ball. We got out in transition. We defended well. We did all these.
This is accurate, by the way. I thought the Lakers looked really good for most of this game. I mean, it was one of those games when you lose your star player and your backbone. A lot of times that first game, you come out with an extra energy and sort of everybody's kind of wants to prove something. And I thought that was this game. I was like, oh, the Lakers are out to prove something.
It looked like it. They played really well for most of the game. And then they got in, they kind of reverted back to ISO ball. And Lonzo said this also after the game, that they reverted back to ISO ball and didn't get back in transition. It allowed Sacramento to get back into the game. And really, that's really what it's been. Like the Lakers this year have looked way better when they get out in transition. Brandon Ingram looks way better when he just makes his decisions really quickly and then just goes. But when he allows himself to dribble 5, 6, 7, 8 times in a single possession, the Lakers tend to struggle, and that's kind of what it looked like.
Yeah, and I think part of that, this happens with a lot of especially young teams. In the first three quarters and really three and a half quarters, you can play the style of basketball that's most comfortable to you. And a lot of times that's pass and cut and screen and work together as a unit. In the last six, there's always that feeling of, well, you know, I don't want to blow it now. Or whose responsibility is this? And when you have LeBron James, that's an easy decision. He's
right.
The guy that – he's the one that's the pivot point of everything. When you don't have that guy, it's very, very difficult for teams to establish an offensive identity in the final 5 minutes that mirrors the first 45 minutes or 43 minutes. So I think with the Lakers, there was a little bit of that, especially when Sacramento hit a couple big shots to jumpstart that run. And then all the pressure kind of went onto the shoulders of the Lakers.
It got to a point where the indecisiveness that you saw on the offensive end made its way over to the defensive end, and guys were even reluctant to go get rebounds.
Yeah,
the ball was just landing between Lakers, and they were just and yeah. I mean, that's where Here's the thing, though. Here's where I'll allow this game to kind of let me make a bigger point about where the Lakers are. We have been told since LeBron got to the Lakers that this isn't the typical LeBron team. He wanted other creators out there. He wanted a lighter load and all these things and blah, 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 blah. The Lakers can't look like this down the stretch of the, like if they look like this down the stretch of all of the games while LeBron is out, all of those narratives that we heard as LeBron was making his way to the Lakers.
Right. Well, two things real quick here. To your first point, the Lakers had 22 fast break points in this game, just two in the fourth quarter. So that's some actual hard evidence of what you were talking about, how the game slowed down for them and they weren't able to get out in transition. But also, who are the players that you expect with the injuries they have to Rajon Rondo and to LeBron James? Who are the players that you expect to be there now? You're talking about a bunch of second and third year players and even young third year players. Lance Stevenson, I don't know if I'm counting on him to be the guy. Lonzo, Josh Hart, Kyle Kuzma, Brandon Ingram. Even though guys like Ingram have a couple years under their belt already, I just think it's asking a lot to expect those guys to be anything better than a B-minus closer at this point.
The NBA's tough. I'm expecting Anthony Davis to be that closer.
That's beautiful segue. I think he'll be a very, very good at that role.
It's funny to me. I haven't heard too much of it, but Lakers fans who are out there saying that it's too much to give up, like that anything is too much to give up.
I think that's an old narrative. You're in the thick of it. Are you still hearing that?
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit.
Yeah, it's that's
still
wild.
Still going on. Look, if you're listening to this, Lakers fans, there is no any fan base out there. There is nothing that is too much to give up for a top five center as he's 25 years old.
A top five player who happens to be a center, right? Not a top five center. That would be selling him awfully, awfully short. LeBron James is a top five small forward, if you ask me.
I would. LeBron is a top 20 players named LeBron.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. No, but you know, this is breaking perfectly, I think, for the Lakers in that the New Orleans has now lost 13 of their last 18. They are on a five-game losing streak, and with a couple of tough games coming up, right at the time where that trade deadline is coming about. So if you were a Lakers fan, and you are, but if you're looking at the schedule coming in, you think, ooh, I hope they really have a bad December because that would shape up well for us.
Absolutely. I find myself rooting for whoever – like the Lakers have a game, okay, but whoever is playing New Orleans – you guys go do your thing. But
Do you think they have the best package for him? Now, obviously, right now, there's the whole Celtics thing, and they have to wait on Kyrie. But even factor that in, just say it's the summertime. Do the Lakers have the best package that they can offer, that a team can offer for Anthony Davis?
No, but not for the reasons of like Lakers young core versus other teams on other young core. It's because teams are going to be willing to offer anything for the guy. Ben Simmons might not be untouchable regard.
Yeah.
You know, like the given how good a player Anthony Davis is, the offers are going to be astronomical. And if they get up into the mile high stratosphere, the Lakers can't match that. They just can't. But if teams talk themselves out of making those kinds of offers because they're wary of Anthony Davis potentially leaving anyway in free agency, then the Lakers look like a pretty decent landing spot.
How do you think this all plays out? Just put on your Nostradamus cap here. Over the next 6 weeks leading up to the trade deadline, how does this play out?
I think we find this out sooner than later. It behooves, I think. So for all of the talk of like you want Boston to be able to make their max offer and all this stuff because you have to wait for July for that to happen, you want to at least see if Davis rejects the supermax offer that you can make on July 1st. But the day that he rejects that offer, you lose a ton of leverage. And I don't know if it's the right call for New Orleans to allow themselves to lose that kind of leverage. They have to do their homework early on that front.
For me, and this is kind of the final point, I don't know how it's going to play out. I don't know that New Orleans is feeling as urgent to make a decision now as I think Lakers fans hope. But at the same time, if you have LeBron James and Anthony Davis, it is so easy to build a dynasty, to build an actual legitimate – LeBron has had a couple super teams now in Cleveland and in Miami. None of the guys, the number twos, have fit as nicely as Anthony Davis would fit next to him. So to me, the Lakers, I think, will be very aggressive. I just don't know if it's going to happen before February 7th or 9th or whatever the deadline is.
Oh, yeah. I definitely think it goes right up to the deadline. But it's – I just don't – you have to make these decisions early or else you wind up sending Kawhi and Danny Green up to Toronto for like nothing. We're going to take a quick second here. And when we come back, we're going to take a quick trip around Thursday night's games. Adam had notes on all of them. The Nuggets didn't play, so he was allowed to kind of look around. So we'll let him do that. And we're back, and Adam, it's really rare that Adam just says that, hey, I want to say stuff about all of these games.
Not true. I always want to talk about these other teams.
I don't know. It's pretty rare that you say that you can't wait to talk about, I don't know, James Harden or, no, James Harden's in
there. Hey, he's all right. We could start with that game, though, because it was interesting.
Yeah. What stuck out to you as James Harden went up against Uncle Drew as TNT? Why did TNT keep selling it on just that?
Because Shaq was in the movie, I guess. I don't know. A weirdly popular movie with basketball fans, I guess. I guess it shouldn't be, but I don't know. 127-113, Houston beats Boston. They out-rebounded them 54-38 in this game. Boston, not a bad rebounding team, but just got hammered on the boards, in large part because of Nene. He was a plus 25 in 10 minutes. Plus 25 in 10 minutes.
That's insane.
That's an insane stat right there. Kyrie was good in this one, 23-11. Jaylen Brown came off the bench and added 18-5. But James Harden continues to be on a tear. It's funny. James Harden is almost more fun when he doesn't have to pass the ball to anyone. 45 points on 11 of 26. And as much as all around James Harden can be fun, he is just in a zone right now. 9 of 18 from 3 and just look good. Boston, meanwhile, 2-4 in their last six.
Did you hear James Harden after the game saying that the MVP is back?
You know what, though? In a weird way, him leading the shorthanded team back into the standings and into the spotlight, you never know. I mean, we've all kind of written the narratives about who the MVP is. I feel like there's no like clear front. Giannis maybe, but I still feel like there's so much time for that award to be won.
Yep. Let's go now to Knicks and Bucks. Ennis Kanter and Giannis almost kissed.
They did. It would have been an angry kiss. Kanter got hit in the head.
That's
by
the
Thon
only
Maker.
Kind I get as a married man.
Sure, I'll kiss you. And Kanter lost his cool for whatever reason, and he got mad at Giannis. I don't quite understand what happened here that he got mad at Giannis, ends up giving him sort of a cheap shot. And then at the end, Kanter gave this quote: "I didn't really understand him. He has a strong accent, so I couldn't understand what he was saying. Giannis is a cool dude, though. Obviously, he's an MVP candidate. I've got no problem with him. Still have no problem with him." But he punched him. I mean, he gave him a punch.
All right. So
an elbow, I guess.
So there was a tweet on somebody asked basically like who would actually win that fight, Giannis against Kanter, and then Shareef O'Neal, Shaq's son, basically goes like, "Oh, this shouldn't even be a question." And I'm thinking, wait, in which direction? I have no idea who would win that fight. I think my money's on Kanter. I think.
I have no idea. In any athletic feat, I just want to take Giannis.
You know what style he fights in?
Oh, God.
He's a Kanter puncher.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so sorry, everybody. I am so, so sorry for my partner.
The Philadelphia 76ers go out and smack on the Utah Jazz.
They did, and it was funny because our good friends at SLC Dunk had a classic tweet tonight. If any of us had any question as to whether Utah had finally turned the corner this season, this first quarter is putting that question to rest. Guess how much Utah was up at that point?
I don't know.
7. What? They just threw the biggest heat check after being up 7. They end up blowing the game and getting blown out. Really bizarre when a team flexes after winning 1 in a row and then being up 7 in a quarter. Like, ah, we're off to the races. Slumped over. Yeah, thought that was... I thought that was a classic. Utah had zero fast break points tonight. Kind of a loud zero, especially for a team that struggles to score in the half court.
Yeah.
Simmons now two games in a row with a jump shot. He had a nice turnaround jumper today in this game.
So should Philadelphia's blog go out there and say, that's it, Ben Simmons is going to be the greatest shooter of all time?
it's more or less what happened with that SLC dunk one. Embiid 23, 15, 6, and 5 blocks. What a monster stat line.
My goodness. Unreal. And then finally, in another really, really good game, the two games were going side by side, Trailblazers and Lakers for a little bit. The Blazers, so I was watching as I was recording Locked On Lakers. The Blazers had like a late lead, gave it up, went to overtime. then Golden State had a late lead, and Dame happened.
Well, more even happened in between that. So you mentioned it. Portland sort of tried to give this game away. Golden State did what they did, which was knock down some big-time three-pointers late in the game, used up every last second of regulation to catch back up. Kevin Durant hit a huge three in the final seconds. And then in overtime, they had the momentum. They had the ball. They had the lead. Steph Curry, in anticipation of getting fouled to put him on the line, he jumps to like make a play, doesn't get fouled, turns it over, and then Damian Lillard comes down and hits the go-ahead three. So a wild sequence of events that Portland handed it away, and then Golden State also handed it right back for whatever reason. KD and Draymond, both great stat lines in this one, which is interesting. 26, 10, and 11, triple-double for KD. Draymond, 15, 11, and 7. Steph Curry, 29, 5, and 7. Some great numbers in this game. But here's a weird one for you, and this is really my note for this game. Klay Thompson, 2 of 9 from the three-point line. He's shooting 34% on the year. He's shooting 30.6% on wide open threes this year, according to Second Spectrum, and 36.4% on open threes. Have you ever seen that? I mean, Klay Thompson, one of the best shooters I've ever witnessed in my life.
He's my favorite shot.
And we are 35 games into the season, and he's shooting this poorly.
Do you think – all right, so we there's been a lot of hypothesizing on what might have been going on with Markelle Fultz and the yips and all that stuff, but – is this kind of like a little case of the yips here as well? Like if you're wide open, if you're wide open and you're as good a shooter as Klay Thompson, it has to become mental at some point, right?
The worst he had ever shot was his second year, his sophomore season. He shot 40%.
Yeah.
That's the worst. This year he's at 33.7.
And then have you seen Draymond Green shooting this year?
Well, of course, Draymond, there was a play that made the rounds on Twitter today where they gave him 9 Draymond links worth of space to shoot the ball. He still
did
not. I
think Nurkic turned all the way around for a play.
but the Klay thing is just weird. I mean, Golden State's still sitting. They were atop the Western Conference before this loss. Now they dropped below the Denver Nuggets. But I just had to get that in there. But Klay Thompson, you know, it could be fatigue. It could be just the weird – I always say that being open is only half the battle. Being in rhythm is the other one. And the more I watch Golden State, the more I just – their rhythm isn't what we've seen, you know, in those first 2 years of Golden State Warriors basketball. Even at points last year, they would establish it. But this year, the ball just doesn't sort of seem to have the same pop as they've had in the past.
Yeah. Well, look playing – getting to – what is it? 6 straight finals or 5 straight finals? Like that takes a toll, man. That takes a toll. All right, we're going to take another quick second here, and when we come back, we are going to hand out resolutions. We're going to tell teams in the NBA to go vegan. Adam, we try.
Is that right? Is that what you got marked down there?
Yeah, sure. Right. So we'll come back to that right here on. In a bit. All right, I'm going to get this one started. Since you
Let's
talked for like the entire last segment, my first resolution, or I guess it's more of a request, but somebody other than the Phoenix Suns in the Western Conference, please start sucking. Like, this is unreal.
That is a resolution. So actually, the way to put it is, who do you want to tank? Obviously, you want New Orleans to turn to the tank. So there's one team. You know, Minnesota? Can Minnesota, are they just like 3 or 4 losses away from saying, hey, you know what? Let's go get Zion.
Well, that's what's crazy here is that, well, you got to kind of look and see who has their first round picks and stuff like that. So some of these teams aren't actually going to go out there and tank. But it's still, it's wild. It's so insane right now. So the Denver Nuggets are sitting in the number one spot in the conference with 21 wins. The Utah Jazz are sitting in the, 12th spot in the conference with 17. A four-win difference. That's insane.
Well, the Lakers are seeing it right now. This kind of segues into my first resolution for the league, which is to turn off injuries. This is,
You know,
we talked about it coming into the year, but with as tight as everything is, you look at Chris Paul is out, LeBron James is out, and Denver, half the roster is out. Golden State has missed time for Curry, Draymond. The entire Western Conference is going to come down to injuries. I mean, just whatever team gets an injury, they go on a little slump, and it costs them 5-6 spots in the standings.
Yeah. Yeah, I want that just in general. Adam Silver, if I have one request, please turn off those injuries. Because here's the thing, like not just in terms of seeding and all that stuff, but this to me, in my opinion, is maybe the one of the better eras in terms of talent on a nightly basis that we're able to watch. And it's a real bummer that like that game in Sacramento was a lot of fun tonight. I think it would have been more fun if LeBron was there, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh, yeah. No doubt. Oh, actually, this game, I don't know. It was pretty fun the way it happened. But you're right. The league is just so loaded. And that's why every time I talk about, this upcoming schedule for them gets tough, it's tough for everybody because there's what I would say is there's competent teams all across the NBA. You know, it's not that they're all great. They're just all competent.
Yeah. I wonder if this leads to expansion. That's a topic.
I hope not.
That's a topic for another day. I have my next one here. This is a team-specific one.
Okay.
Oklahoma City, make Russell Westbrook the sidekick. Like, just let it happen. Just let it happen. It's hard to argue with how things have gone for them so far. They're a half game out of the top of the conference and all that stuff, and they're one of the more surprising teams out there. But they look at their absolute best when it's Paul George's team and Russ just kind of fills in the gaps otherwise.
You know, I think it still feels like Russell Westbrook's team.
Oh, it's always
partly because the ball is just in his hands so much. But what I would say is that for whatever reason, Paul George just looks more happy and comfortable than I've ever seen him before. And
and
I think they have a nice synergy. My next one, this isn't even a joke. This is an actual literal one. You know, a couple years back, the NBA made a point of emphasis to not call that shot fake, jump forward, draw a shooting foul rule. But they've completely just given that up.
Yeah.
And I have no idea why. It has happened so many times in important moments this year where somebody shot fake, jumped 6 feet to the side to draw contact on a guy who closed out properly. Textbook, fundamentally. And they get that call. And, you know, it's one of those things. The league has done a very good job, I think, of cleaning up some of this stuff that has kind of ruined the game. This is one that's a no-brainer. Why are we still allowing, heading into 2019, for guys to jump 3 feet forward to draw contact on a three-pointer?
The really frustrating thing here is that the rule is right there. Like, verticality is a thing near the basket. But for some reason, like if you step out, what's the border here? It's like 7 feet out. There's no longer a verticality rule. If a defender just jumps straight up, you shouldn't be allowed to just jump into their space. Like they've written that rule.
Yeah, it really is weird. It's just really bothersome. I think it's my least favorite play in basketball at the moment.
Yeah, it's right there with the whole like dribble around the pick and roll. The defender has to slide a hand just to try to contain. You just throw your hands up through that defender's hand and you get the three-pointer.
Jokic is a master of these moves. Not necessarily at the three-point line, but yeah, they're very annoying.
All right, my next one and my final one here. I want more trades. Like, I want this to be a really busy trade season. And it kind of goes hand-in-hand with my very first one. Like, if more teams sucked in the West, there'd be more teams willing to give off pieces. But I just think... I just think I want to see a more consolidated talent pool as we head into the playoffs because there are some legitimately intriguing storylines that I think would get even more intriguing if some of these teams made a little bit more sense.
See, I'm the opposite, and not about the trades, just about – I think this playoffs is shaping up to be very, very exciting because the Warriors are just more vulnerable than they've been at any point these last few years. And the East, as much as those teams are great, Toronto, Milwaukee, Boston, Philadelphia, even Indiana, they're not unbeatable. I mean, I don't know who wins out of that sort of scrum of teams. So I kind of look at it and go, I kind of like this year. It's almost – a bridge year between the Warriors dynasty and whatever next dynasty or era is ahead of us. And I kind of like that about it.
Yeah. I guess I just want one specific trade.
You know, Anthony's the worst because he's sitting there going, I don't like when the Lakers aren't far and away the best team in the league. I want to make a change to where we're just so much better than everyone.
Look, I may or may not have been the kid who just completely loaded his roster and beat everybody by 40.
Of course. My last one, I think my resolution is for Steve Kerr. He needs to channel his inner Phil Jackson and just embrace this chaos. Look, this Warriors team, the more I watch them, the more I just think, man, this team is not going to like sing Kumbaya at the end of the year. They're just never going to get to this point where everything's great. Instead, get this team to thrive on chaos. KD, he's shooting too much. Call him out. Draymond's complaining too much. Call him out. You know, this is Steph Curry's team. Say it. Klay Thompson needs to start making shots. Call him out. Just, you know what? Let's get one last run for this Warriors to be an angry run. I want to see the angry Warriors.
I want to see them get eliminated and Draymond and KD just throw down. That's what I'm hoping for. Do you have any before we head out? Do you have any resolutions for yourself?
For myself, no. I feel like I was pretty perfect in 2018. Okay. What about you, Anthony? I feel like I nailed it.
You did. I want to get rid of a chin. Like, that's a...
you want to cut it down to just two chins?
Yeah. I just want the typical double chins. Like, get rid of this third one.
I do, before we get out of here, I do want to preview the weekend because there's some great games. Dallas goes to New Orleans. New Orleans, we just talked about the five-game losing streak, and really it goes beyond even that. Just, Dallas is the perfect game for them to kind of – we're going to know. After that, they got Houston, Minnesota. So they have a couple tough games. This can extend to an eight-game losing streak. Dallas, you got to win. Houston at New Orleans, as I just mentioned, that's another fascinating one for me. Golden State at Portland, the rematch is Saturday. They just played. They play again on Saturday, this time in Portland. I think that's fun. And then another rematch, Sacramento at LA. Let's run it back.
I'm really excited about the potential Fox-Lonzo, like, divisional positional rivalry.
We didn't talk about this enough. Lonzo 29-12, Fox 15-9-12. I love that those guys had almost identical stat lines. Yeah.
Well, Fox took like 30 shots to get his 15 points, but that's
he was,
I'm not.
He was also he was also a plus 12.
All right, that'll do it before we get into a full on Lonzo standing effort on my part. But that was fun. This was fun. We are going to send everybody off into a holiday weekend. And as we are getting ready for a holiday weekend, I want to remind you guys, please be safe out there. Please, if you guys are going to go out and enjoy the holiday, do so in an Uber. They aren't a sponsor, are they?
I don't think so.
Just in case, Lyft 2.